She's making 200 something a year? And after a year, we have another update. So I think it's a great plan, don't get me wrong. I really do. I'm impressed with it, but what about right now? It's been a year. And if you guys are satisfied with this work in a year, another plan to assess for another year, then what the homeless say is true, that the mayor hates the homeless in this city. You always say, mayor, whoever wants up and out. Well, you know what? People have been placed without the help of Ashley, without the help of the District 1 representative, who never goes over there. I'm over there all the time. So I really hope somewhere along the line that we stop assessing and we start working.
Dale, welcome.
Good evening, Dale Gustin. I remember when we just had Paso Care feeding these kids, or these people, excuse me, and a lot of them are young people. Mainly because the young people are more inclined to get into drugs. And then they can't get out of that syndrome, and they end up homeless. I heard there's a nurse available. What about somebody to help them with their emotional problems? Most all those homeless people have some kind of emotional problem. That's why they're homeless. And then there's the issue, we had Martinville, where we had a place for them to put tents and motor homes and cars, and that disappeared. Well, now they park in Walmart, up on Riverside, but they can't get permanent homes. But what are we doing for these people that are living out of their cars because they can't afford to get into a home, or they're way down on the list, or they have a little pet dog? What about that? They're disqualified if they have a dog. Something wrong with the system. I don't find that this report satisfied any of that, and I got more out of Echo's report than I did this report. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Anyone else? Please, ma'am, come on forward. Welcome.
Good evening. I'm Wendy Richardson. I live in Templeton. I have a business in Paso Robles. I've been before you before, which was last November, and many things that have been said tonight have kind of changed what I was going to say, but I'm going to say what wasn't said. Back in December, we actually arranged a meeting. We had all the businesses in the north part of Paso attend, and with our amazing Paso Robles Police Department also, who do an amazing job with the homeless. And we were led to believe after that meeting we would have one in February, and it never came to fruition. So many of us understand that the city really doesn't have any interest in cleaning up the north end of town. There have been no changes since December, and I think shame on the city staff and the council to ignore the businesses that put money into your coffers. I just got my business license. I have to pay it. I wish I wasn't in Paso Robles on Riverside. So it's not our issue that you transformed Motel 6. And believe me, I deal with the homeless on a daily basis. I have a lot of compassion for who they are. And I have friends that I help, but the trash issue appears to be taken care of. But where are the restrooms for these homeless people that are out on the street Where do they go to the bathroom? They go in my bays at the car wash. Now, would you like to clean that up every morning like I do? No. I think the city needs to put some resources out there for the surrounding businesses. It appears to the community that the only thing that you're interested in is from Riverside up from 13th Street. You get thrown out of your car driving on Black Oak Drive and Riverside Drive. You don't care, it appears, only about your downtown. And that's how the community feels. You need to address the bathroom issue that's going on. They have nowhere to go to the bathroom. All the restrooms are locked in the restaurants because nobody wants them in there. The other thing that I need to address, I'm sorry, but you need to find a spot for these motorhomes. These people are living in motorhomes. They have nowhere to go. They get towed for whatever reason. But find a place for them to be. You've created that part of North End of the town, which is really bad. And you need to find a place for these people to park and feel safe. People sleeping in their cars, I can tell you, there's a lot of young women sleeping in their cars or afraid of being raped at night because of the homeless around there. You need to find a place where they can go and feel safe.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, sir.
Good evening. My name is Pete Torres. My address is 1616 Pine Street. And I'm the senior pastor of Victory Outreach, Pastor Robles. And I couldn't sit in my seat and actually hear someone come against the character or the great work that Ashley's doing, because I've personally seen the success stories of people that have been able to take advantage of the resources. Like, for instance, I had a guy came and shared on a couple days ago about how he came from the river bottom. He was on fentanyl. He's now placed in a house. He has his kid back. Last Thursday, I had 9 people in my church. They were all in the River Bottom High together. One was preaching, and 4 of them were in Bible college. They all came from the River Bottom. They came through, whether it be Echo or some of the resources that she oversees, and we see success stories. So when you talk about the homeless problem, I get it, I understand. We go down there into the River Bottom, but I've also seen the success of transformed, turned around lives, and that's also what's taking place. So we can't discount the fact that there is success stories, and I have them lined up, a list this big of people that were out here, that were once a part of the problem, that are now a part of the solution. And so I think that she's doing an amazing job. I think you guys are doing a great job, and I got you guys in prayer. God bless you guys.
Thank you, Pete. Anyone else? We have a caller online.
You need prayer.
Yes, sir. First caller is Wendy Lewis.
Wendy, can you hear us? Go ahead.
Hi, Wendy Lewis with El Camino Homeless Organization. Thank you for the opportunity to share and show support for all the work that's being done. For Echo, it is so important, this partnership with the city, and for the work that Ashley is putting in. Our representative from Victory Outreach just mentioned that even yesterday there was an incredible success story shared from a gentleman who had utilized Echo services, as well as receive support from the CAT team, Victory Outreach, and it just shows one example of someone from the riverbed who was at his lowest lows, who is now being supported and in housing with his child back. So that's just one of many success stories. So far this year, Echo's helped 100 individuals and families into the stability of permanent housing, and that's only possible with our partnership with the city and all of these efforts with all of the different partners that are putting in time and effort and really making sure each individual or family, their needs are being addressed, and each individual family is different things that they need or bringing brought to it through housing support, all the different programs. And so again, I just want to thank the city for this partnership, all the work that Ashley's putting in, and all of the different partners that are making each of these success stories possible. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Wendy. Anyone else?
Yes, sir. Next caller is Kayla Wilburn.
Okay. Kayla, can you hear us? Go ahead.
Hi, good evening. My name is Kayla Wilburn. I'm the clinic director at CAPSLO's Health and Prevention Clinics. We are thrilled to be in partnership with the city. Thank you, Ashley, for making that happen and connecting us with the CAT team and bringing us up to North County to meet people where they are in the Salinas Riverbed and assist them to start their journey out of homelessness. The center's mobile clinic that travels countywide to serve people who are uninsured and underinsured began services at the Salinas Riverbed 2 weeks ago. So far, we have served 28 unduplicated unhoused individuals. We have identified a number of folks who need treatment for hepatitis C. We have identified a couple of folks who need treatment for a very serious sexually transmitted infection. And we are testing to treat for all of those infections, HIV, Hep C. We're providing pap smears, breast exams, and referrals for free mammograms, at which time Oxnard Family Circle, who is providing the CalAIM services, will transport those patients for their free mammograms and back to their location there at the Salinas River. Collaborating with Officer Mike and the CAT team, we have really been welcomed into that community because of the work that Kat and Ashley and Oxnard Family Circle have been doing to build trusting relationships. And so we have immediately been embraced as a trusting provider of healthcare. And we couldn't be more excited for what we are currently able to offer and the progress that we know we will see in the coming year, serving the folks where they are and preparing them to exit the Salinas Riverbed and into shelter in collaboration with ECHO and other service providers in the area. And so I want to thank Ashley and the CAT and all of the other collaborators for inviting us to North County and giving us the support that we need to support all of the folks who are currently residing in the Salinas Riverbed and hopefully finding their way out and into shelter soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kayla. Anyone else?
Leslie? Next is Jan Albin.
Okay. Jan, can you hear us? Go ahead.
Yes, I can. Thank you. I have three questions for Ashley. The first one is about the point in time. Could you give us the number of our last point in time? And you might have to sort of explain a little bit briefly what that point in time is for the people who don't understand that. But that number is very important to me and to others. My second question is, and it's more of a statement. Over in the Black Oak area by Grocery Outlet and Tractor Supply, we get comments all the time about how people won't go over there and shop because they're approached by the homeless. I've gone over there. Personally, they don't bother me, but they do other people. And so I'm wondering, is there any way of, quote, policing that area so that shoppers are not bothered? My third question is, a statement is, too, is that it was a great report. It really was. It was very nice, very well done. But how have you put this report into action? Because paper is paper, slides are slides, and so what are you going to do with this information? How are you going to put it into action? Those are my three questions. I'd appreciate the as comprehensive an answer as you can give. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Yes, sir. Next caller is Kimberly Booth.
Okay. Kimberly, can you hear us? Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Kimberly. I can. So I have to say that I am one of Echo's least biggest fans. You guys have heard me spoke before, and I need to just say that Scott, the new outreach manager in Paso, and Frank Vargas have been doing an amazing job collaborating with us outreach people into getting people the help that they need. However, I wanted to bring up a fact that I am currently working with a sex trafficked female. The story is horrific, correct? And she is homeless at the moment. We've gone through all of the case interviews. There is not even a car for her to sleep in. There's not a motel voucher. There is not an emergency room for her anywhere in this county. And she is being looked for and in hiding. And so I think that's a big gap that we need to close. Our shelters need to have some emergency beds. We have trafficked women and emergency cases. And then also today I'm working with a person with severe mental illness that, you know, I love what Ashley's doing. We are all working together. That's all great. But I don't see a lot of the behavioral health in our community being covered. And I reached out to behavioral health today. It's a 2-week wait. This person is not meeting criteria for a 5150, but by the time they are going to reach that, it's going to be catastrophic. So I'd really like Ashley and our community to really focus on behavioral health. Someone stated a little while ago when they commented the emotional disturbance that's going on. Everybody down there has that, and if they didn't go down there with that, they have it now. So I would really like our community to focus a lot on behavioral health and mental health, not just physical symptoms and getting housed, because you can get them housed all day, but if they're not stable mentally, they won't stay there. And again, I do like how our community is collaborating, and I do see a lot of change in the way Echo's going. We're not there yet, but it's a work in progress. So I wanted to say thank you to Scott and Frank Vargas.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's
no
it.
More callers.
Very good. Okay, Ashley, we had a few questions. Why don't we take the ones that I wrote down. Point in time count, I believe, is what Jan was talking about. I think that was October of last year. Can you, was it January?
It was January of this year. Yeah. We actually have Linda Belch from the county here, and I'd like to invite her up if that's okay to answer that question, since the county oversees the point in time.
Okay, very good.
Hi, good evening, Council. Linda Belch, County of San Luis Obispo, Department of Homeless Services. I will be presenting later this evening, and it will include point-in-time information. I'm happy to share that now, but it is a reduction over the previous point-in-time count, and I can share those numbers now, or I can include them in my presentation when I come back later this evening.
Okay. So it was a reduction.
It's a reduction,
Percentage-wise, roughly, do you know?
So, well, you're taking my punchline.
Yeah, I know.
So roughly from the beginning, so when the county established the five-year plan in 2022 to where we last counted in 2026, we were actually a 42% reduction in unsheltered homelessness.
Overall, that's, well, fantastic. Yeah. Great.
Look surprised when I bring that back.
Pro Tem Gregory has a question for you.
Sure.
And can you describe in detail what the point time count is?
Absolutely. So point in time is a really important measurement that every single jurisdiction is mandated to undertake in the last week of January. And so us, along with every other jurisdiction, marshaled about 200 local residents who participated in the point in time count. We actually go out into the community. It encompasses both those who are in shelters. So we know how many we have in our sheltered capacity, which has also grown, which is an incredible benefit to the system, and also those who slept in places not meant for human habitation. As part of that, we also survey our unsheltered individuals to ask them what is their biggest barrier to becoming housed, and no surprise to anyone here, it's a lack of affordable housing. We know that this is an expensive community and a county, and that's something that we have made a lot of progress on during the course of the five-year plan, but certainly more to be done there. At this point, with the numbers I am going to share, they are fairly confident that they're official, but we do have to wait for HUD, Housing and Urban Development, to kind of verify our numbers. That doesn't happen until April 30th, assuming that that comes back on time. At that point, we will be able to bring back to council your specific city numbers. So I don't have your city numbers with me available today, but I can share the county numbers that we counted on the point in time.
Yeah, that'd be good whenever. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
And to add to that process, I'd like to say that as the homeless services manager, I was involved with the planning process along with our community action team. So we provided maps to the county using our GIS system of where encampments clusters are within the city, and those were handed off to volunteers who were by foot. But in addition, to ensure there was the most accuracy as possible, Officer Radigan and I traveled by foot since there was rain, frequent rains following the point in time count, to ensure that people didn't move from where we had tracked them last and make sure that people really were counting as accurate as possible. And then all four community action team members did escort volunteers into the riverbed since we started at 5 a.m.
Very good. I think there was another question there about, you know, putting your report into action. Clearly, you're doing a heck of a lot of information that we've been hearing and also seeing results. And so I know it was a council goal here to have some sort of structural support for homelessness, and you're it. I mean, by bringing you on board, you've done a tremendous amount of work in the short period of time you've been here, the programs you've instituted, and things that you're coordinating, really was managing the whole part of homelessness for the city. It's a huge job, and I got to believe on behalf of the city council, again, I really appreciate your efforts in helping the situation as much as you can. And again, it was a comment about, you know, putting these report items into action. And again, clearly you are doing that. So again, I don't have any other further questions, unless you have something further to add to us.
You know, from a philosophical standpoint, I just want to say, when you're as the homeless services manager, no matter what I do, people are going to have an opposing opinion. But what I'm trying to do as the homeless services manager is create the most balanced approach that's fiscally responsible. So as you can see in this report, we've brought in hundreds of thousands of dollars from outside of our city's general fund. And I hope to continue to do that through grants and looking at opportunities to even do in-kind, where people are willing to be boots on the ground and maybe trade some of their time for, like we're doing, the city-owned land in the riverbed. So I just wanted to ensure that I'm trying my best, but of course, my heart is gonna always be in this work, and that's all we can do.
Thank you very much, Ashley.
Thank you. Okay.
We'll close this presentation, and we'll move on then to general public comments. This is the time that the public may address the council on items within our purview, but not scheduled on tonight's agenda. Council or staff may briefly respond to statements or questions posed by the public. Please fill out a speaker card and give it to the city. You'll have 3 minutes to speak. Those people wishing to speak on any item scheduled on tonight's agenda will be given the opportunity to do so when that item is being heard.
Hi, Linda George, 3126 Spring Street. I want to make something very clear. Nobody's putting Ashley down. We had high expectations as advocates. It's just that simple. We said she's done a good job, she's done a good report. But the question is, when is the city gonna make it actionable? We hired somebody specifically for that reason.
Linda, this was an agenda item. So
I know, I'm just clarifying. So anyhow,
yep.
So it's a really exciting time at the Capitol. I'm scheduled to testify April 30th at the Capitol. And right now, as you know, that the governor's race is really interesting. Betty Yee dropped out, so you got about five Democrats and you got two Republicans. So right now, everybody is crazy at the Capitol with this election coming. And I'm starting to see it kind of echo it here with the election that's coming forth. So anyways, last time I was here, I was talking about 25 and 101 and about this interchange. When I came back from the Bay Area last Wednesday, Hollister finally got their overpass. And you know, they started that in 2021 approximately, and it's done. So I know, Mr. Strong, you said that we're trying to get the, I'm gonna say the wrong number again, 46 and 101. that might take time, but I'm hoping it's the same Caltrans district that they would see the need as equally as Hollister needed it on this exchange here. And then I sent some emails about the 6 ADUs. I do want to see how or if it could be discussed of when the ADUs become an apartment complex, or if somebody has 9 to 10 rentals on one property, is the city going to require them to have, you know, property management, that kind of stuff. So that I don't have that much to say today on general public comments, but I just wanted to clarify that. I like Ashley. She's a great person. I like all the staff here. They're all great. If you really get to know them, they work hard. I have never seen a small governmental staff agency work so hard. And they're all so smart. None of you get big heads because I'll pop it the next day. But walk up to Darren Nash and he can just answer any question, you know. And they all have really good spirits. I hope that people start getting to know the staff as well as I have, because they're really dynamite people.
Dale, welcome.
Dale Gustin, I wasn't going to speak, but I was reminded about the airport 46 connection. And I spoke in favor of Brett Butterfield because he's that's a great asset at the corner there. And yet, if you're coming from Paso Robles, how do you propose you get to his establishment? I don't know, because you won't put a signal in at Airport and 46 East, excuse me.
Anyone else? Anyone online, Melissa?
Yes, sir, Wendy Lewis.
Very good, Wendy. Public comment, go ahead.
Hi, good evening, Council. Wendy Lewis with El Camino Homeless Organization. I just wanted to come back in public comment and share an opportunity with the community to support the work that ECHO's doing and share a little bit about the partners that making it possible. Tomorrow evening is Empty Bowls Paso Robles. It's one of our major fundraisers that help provide the resources that are changing lives for the families and individuals in Paso Robles that are needing the services we provide. And it is in partnership with Studios on the Park. They are donating that incredible venue. There will be artists, beautiful bowls, delicious soups donated by local restaurants, and an opportunity to come together as a community and just celebrate the work that's being done. There are a few tickets left. It's almost sold out, so encouraging people to go on echoshelter.org. I know some of you are already in attendance, and just want to thank everybody who's involved in putting that on. It's a very special evening. You're able to come and celebrate with us and enjoy delicious soups, like I mentioned. You get to pick an artist bowl, and you will hear one of the success stories that have happened from the services we provide in Paso Robles. It's a mom, and she will tell from her heart her story about her journey out of homelessness and into housing and the hope that that's provided to her and her children, and just can't wait for tomorrow's wonderful event, and encouraging people, if they are able to join us, to join. And thank you for those that are already coming and everybody who's made that event possible. Thank you so much, and tickets again are echoshelter.org.
Thank you, Wendy. Appreciate the work ECHO does. Anyone else?
No, sir.
Okay. We'll close public comments and move on then to agenda's item to be deferred. Mr. Huat, do we have anything?
Yes, Mayor, thank you. Yes, staff would like to defer item R4. This item was deferred from your last meeting to this meeting in hopes that we would have additional comprehensive information to be able to bring forward a recommendation to you this evening. However, we're still waiting on some additional information from a county agency. So we'd like to have this item deferred to a date to be determined. And we'll bring it back to you as quickly as we can once we have information in hand that we need.
Okay, we'll defer item 4 and to a date uncertain at this point. Thank you. Moving on, we have overview of consent items. Tonight we have 11, looks like. Mr. Huat, can you tell us what we're going to be working on?
Yes, Mayor, as you mentioned, 11 items on your consent calendar. The first is the approval of your April 7th city council meeting minutes. The next is the receipt of advisory body meeting minutes, both for the Youth Commission at their March 4th meeting, as well as the Planning Commission meeting minutes from their March 1st, March 10th, and March 24th meetings. Item number three is the receipt of the warrant register, and I will read those transactions that exceed $100,000. But since we last reported a warrant register to you, the city has made $4.8 million in payments. The first item is a payment to GHD Inc. This is related to design work for the 10146 roundabout in the amount of $100,322.73. Item number two is a payment to the San Luis Obispo County Animal Services Division. This is for our annual animal services contract. This is for quarter three in the amount of $122,327.50. Next is a payment to Mainline Engineering Construction. This is related to the Riverside Capitol Hill Almond area utility upgrades, and that comes from a various different funds in the amount of $176,750.83. Next is a payment to Best Best and Krieger. This is for January attorney fees in the amount of $132,692.22. Next is a payment to Sousa Construction. This is related to the construction contract for those downtown parking lot upgrades in the amount of $334,618.60. The next is a payment to Stantec. This is for design work related to the active transportation program NIMBIC Corridor project that's funded predominantly through state grant funds in the amount of $105,438.37. Next is a payment to Rob Reynolds Construction for the City Hall Modernization Project in the amount of $105,068.89. Next is a payment to Tartaglia Engineering. This is related to a rehabilitation project of Taxiway A at the City Airport coming out of the Airport Enterprise Fund in the amount of $152,783. And the final item is a payment to Mott McDonald. This is related to design work at the Union Road grade separation project in 46 East in the amount of $129,674.21. Moving on, items four and five are the receipt of treasurer's reports, both for the January 26 and February 26 timeframes. Item number six is an amendment to the lease agreement with Earth Tones Gifts Gallery and Center. This is related to a lease that Earth Tone has with commercial space at the city's train station at 790 Pine Street. And this, I believe, would extend that lease for a couple more years. Item number seven is a resolution that adopts the 2025 to 2030 local hazard mitigation plan. This is part of our disaster planning efforts in collaboration and coordination with regional partners. In part, this plan allows us to access certain disaster funding as it becomes available. Item number eight is the approval of a resolution that initiates our annual levy of landscape and lighting district number one and drainage maintenance district number 28-1 for next fiscal year. So we have to start the process now. It involves several steps, and this is the first step that we typically do each year. Item nine is the approval of a resolution that authorizes the city manager to enter into an agreement with Bear Electrical Solutions for citywide traffic signal maintenance. We do not currently have any signal maintenance employees on staff, and so we contract for this service, and Bear provides a turnkey solution and has done for several years to address any sort of traffic signal maintenance items that arise throughout the year. Item number 10 is an approval of a resolution that authorizes the city manager to enter into a public highway overpass agreement with Union Pacific Railroad. This is related to the 24th Street Bridge improvement that the city has received federal funding to move forward. And so this agreement helps to get that project one step closer to construction. And then finally, Mayor, item number 11 is the approval of an oak tree removal. And this is a request to remove a 38-inch diameter oak tree located at 721 28th Street. And there's a mitigation requirement to plant on-site or to provide a replacement tree in the equivalent of $200 in the oak tree replacement fund. So with that, those are the consent calendar items. We're happy to answer any questions you may have.
Very good, Chris. Thank you. We'll move then to consent items on the calendar tonight. However, we do have other things considered on the calendar are considered routine, do not normally require a separate discussion. However, if any member of the council or the public have any specific questions or wants a clarification on an item, we can do that now before the vote is taken. Secondly, any member of the council that wants a full discussion of an item will cause that item to be pulled to the consent calendar and be heard at the end of the discussion items agenda tonight. I will now ask council if they have any questions to be asked of any consent item. Councilman Bouch.
Thank you. I have a question on items P4 and 5 and also P9. Short questions.
Okay, go ahead, Chris, if you want.
So on P4, P9, we talked about OPED, other post-employment benefits. There's been chatter in the local community that our retirement fund is somehow underwater. And I would like to dispel that notion and give an opportunity to say it.
Brian,
I think we have a separate fund as well, besides our regular fund.
Correct. Mr. Mayor, City Council, Ryan Cornell, Admin Services Director. The city's retirement program is handled through CalPERS, the Public Employee Reforms Retirement System. They set the required rates and amounts that we need to set aside for future benefits. Historically, the fund has been underfunded. It's been underfunded, probably since the early 2000s. I know when interest rates were pretty high, they were able to superfund the program. But right now, we're sitting about 75% funded. So that means that the assets that we do have on hand versus the estimated liabilities is right around 75%. Now, CalPERS does not take into consideration the Section 115 trusts. That's an additional set-aside dollars that the city has and has local control. That is hovering right around $10, $11 million to date. Yeah, and then the OPEB one is a different liability. That's actually right. An other post-employment benefits. When employees do retire here at the city, if they're eligible, we'll do provide them with additional compensation.
Can you expand a little bit on that for the public who maybe not know what that pension trust is about, what we put into the council? I think it was probably, 10 years ago, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, but we first did it in 2017, so yeah 9 years ago.
That's for the 115?
And that's the 115 trust.
115, right.
Yeah. It allows the city to invest it in different instruments that the general government code will not allow us to do.
So we're allowed to put money into that trust to allow it to not be really used by Sacramento. We keep it in our trust and grow it and control it rather than them.
Yeah, one of the better benefits of the 115 trust is when CalPERS changes the rules or regulations or have significant increases, we could tap into those dollars to kind of help smooth and lessen the current impacts to the city.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Thank you. And then on Mr. LaCaro, on number 9, we have I understand why we want to have the continuity with our present vendor, but is there any reason why this would not have gone out for an RFP? This is on the citywide traffic signal maintenance services.
I kind of missed that first part, sir. Sorry, could you?
So we're just looks like we're skipping over an RFP. We're going right to extending the existing contract. The current contract has expired. I think we extended it to May, and then after May, we have to get a new contract. Is there any reason why we would not have gone out to a new bid and request proposals from other vendors?
Actually, the process was gone through an RFP process. So in late February, we went out to advertise. We went on DemandStar, widely advertised for any consultant that with the capability and professionalism and technical ability to do that work to provide their own proposal for the work. Unfortunately, we didn't get any,
Bear was
the only one. So it kind of helped us out with continuity, and it kind of does feel like an extension, but we did go through the process.
That's a great answer. So I couldn't come up with that answer for the folks that asked, so perfect
Fair
answer.
Enough.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Pro Tem Gregory.
My question is on number 9 also. Thank you, sir.
Don't Now go away, David.
Thank you, David. And it's just a question.
Sure.
Is this, are there any dollars in this fund for the resetting the timing on the lights? Is that part of this process, or is that going to be a separate issue? Like we talked about Niblick Road. And
yeah, Mr. Caro is probably going to jump in and correct me somewhere along the line, but this is really more for day-to-day type of maintenance and operation of the signal. We are working on several different projects to help with timing and sequencing. Okay. We have a traffic signal master plan that's underway that's going to identify several different priorities that are going to help our system operate more efficiently. Frankly, we're operating with very old, outdated technology, and we're working feverishly to make sure that sometime in the not-too-distant future, for instance, our traffic signals are actually connected, talking to each other, not just going through like a timing type of sequence adjustments, and actually having, it probably sounds more grand than it really is, but a traffic operations center where we can real-time triage issues out in the field and make sure that timing, sequencing, and adaptivity is happening. Those updates and improvements come through a variety of different ways. One is mitigation that some of our developers have to do as new development is coming online. Some of those projects are baked into those development agreements and mitigation requirements. But as we get done with this master plan, a lot of the projects are going to be identified there and will eventually have to be budgeted and funded through a strategic process through our general fund.
Good answer.
You said it better myself. Yeah,
all right. Absolutely. I actually listened to Mr. LaCara when we were meeting. So
thanks for the answer, Dave.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Chris.
No other questions from council? I'll open up to public. Anybody having a question on consent items, please, tonight? Okay, Melissa, do we have anyone online?
No, sir.
Okay, we'll bring it back to council for direction and or action.
Mayor Hammond.
Pro Tem Gregory.
I'd like to approve the consent agenda items 1 through 11.
Second.
Motion by Gregory, second by Bausch to approve items 1 through 11. Any discussion? Call for the question, please.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Beal?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Moving on, we'll open up public hearing. And first item tonight is public hearing on status of personal vacancies in compliance with California Assembly Bill 2561. Mariah Burke, do you have that for us? He's getting there. He's getting there. There you go.
Okay. All right. Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Mariah Burks, and I'm the Assistant Human Resources Risk Manager for the city. Tonight, I will be presenting on Assembly Bill 2561. Assembly Bill 2561 was enacted to promote transparency regarding local government workforce conditions. It requires an annual public update on staffing vacancies as well as the city's recruitment and retention efforts. It also provides an opportunity for input from employee organizations. In lieu of a presentation, SEIU Local 620 submitted written public comment, which has been included in the staff report. Their comments acknowledge the city's progress in reducing vacancies and emphasize the importance of continued investment in recruitment and retention efforts. Currently, the city has just over 312 budgeted full-time equivalent positions, which includes both full and part-time staff. Of those, 299 are full-time positions. As of March 17th, the full-time vacancy rate was 8.7%. This is a decrease from approximately 10.3% at the time of last year's vacancy hearing, indicating continued improvement. Under AB 2561, a 20% vacancy threshold within a bargaining group would trigger additional reporting requirements. At this time, no group meets or exceeds that threshold. Vacancy rates are also relatively consistent across all groups, suggesting that staffing challenges are not concentrated in any one area and that the workforce remains stable overall. In 2025, the city had 28 full-time employee separations, including 13 voluntary resignations, 9 retirements, and 6 involuntary terminations. Of the 13 voluntary resignations, 5 moved to other public agencies, 3 accepted positions in the private sector, and 5 left without securing alternative employment. Overall, this suggests that turnover is largely driven by normal career movement and retirement rather than underlying organizational issues. Broken down by group, the majority of separations occurred within SEIU. This is expected as it's the city's largest and most diverse bargaining unit representing a wide range of classifications. During 2025, the city launched 41 recruitments and hired or promoted 120 employees. We also received over 1,700 applications demonstrating strong interest in city employment. However, a high number of applications doesn't always translate into viable candidates, as not all applicants meet the minimum qualifications or complete the process. This remains an ongoing challenge. Currently, the city has 14 active recruitments to fill 40 positions, and another 12 recruitments are scheduled to be launched in the coming months. Since the last vacancy hearing, we have taken a comprehensive approach to strengthening our workforce, focusing on recruitment, retention, and employee support. On the recruitment side, we have continued using hiring incentives and referral programs, expanded our benefit offerings, and brought public safety background investigations in-house, improving efficiency and hiring timelines. We've also made significant progress in our compensation strategy, including implementing new 3-year labor agreements with targeted enhancements, completing a comprehensive classification and compensation study, and standardizing our classification review process to promote consistency and internal equity. In addition, we have continued to invest in our employees through professional development, expanded first responder wellness initiatives, and the implementation of an employee recognition program to support engagement and retention. Finally, we have enhanced overall workplace support through continued facility improvements and progress towards streamlining workers' compensation processes through alternative dispute resolution. Together, these efforts help us remain competitive, support our workforce, and continue delivering high-quality services to the community. Overall, we are seeing vacancy rates decreasing and staffing levels remaining stable across all employee groups. At the same time, recruitment continues to be competitive. The city will continue to monitor these trends and build on existing efforts. That concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mariah. Any questions? Councilman Balch.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for a great report. Thanks, too, for answering questions really fast when you're asked. The 8.5 vacancy that we have right now, I tried to go online and figure out where that was in comparison. That's really a good number compared to other municipalities our size. So thank you. I'll give you credit for that. So
oh, thanks.
Making that happen. But I did want to ask about the employee recognition program. That was something fairly recent that I'm not sure if it was new or just enhanced. Does that seem to be producing the desired results?
Yeah, so thank you for the question. Prior to maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, the city did not have a citywide comprehensive employee recognition program. And so working with the Human Resources Department, IT, the city manager's office implemented that program. And it's really comprised of three things. One is what's called our instant recognition program, which allows peer-to-peer recognition kind of on an ongoing daily basis. And then each month, those that are nominated are entered into a drawing and get recognized that way. The second one is our Years of Service Awards. We had not previously done a citywide Years of Service Award program. And so if you, you've attended, and others that attend the monthly oaths of office ceremony, we're now recognizing those with 5 or more years of service at 5-year increments. And they also get additional compensation time at one time as an award for that. The third element, which we're still working to implement, is an annual awards program. And so that would be a program that we would be bringing in front of this council to recognize a set number of individuals and then also a team on an annual basis, going above and beyond in certain categories. That work in that process is a little more involved. We're still looking to put that together. Once Mr. Malowitz gets done with his current assignment as being interim public works director, he and our soon-to-start management analyst will be working on implementing that program, but I expect we're going to have that back in front of you no later than the end of this year.
As a former employer myself, it's far less expensive, far more beneficial to retain people than it is to replace them. So congratulations on that, on all of you that are making that happen, and thank you.
Our employees are our highest resource, that's for sure. Thank you, Mariah.
Thank you so much.
Anyone having any questions on this item, please come forward.
Linda George, 3126 Spring Street. You just made my night. You know, I've been pitching for an employee recognition program. You know, and it's really funny because when I worked at DDSD, they had this thing called fish philosophy. It's very old video of how a fish market does teamwork. Anyways, we were getting fish magnets and fish stuffed animals to the point where the staff said, stop it. We don't want any more recognition. We don't want to leave our desks. You know, every time you recognize me, I have to take half hour away from my work. I think it's incredible. You guys, I'm going to retire soon. If you keep, I do this to plant the seed. And I really hope that you guys can move into like gotcha moments where the public can be involved. I met an employee the other day. He had just gotten off of work. It's 6-7 in the morning. He purchased a bed frame. And I said, well, what do you do for the city? He says, well, I drive around at night and find problems. You know, if there's a problem in the row, I was like, wow, what a great job. So I really think this is awesome. I've been wanting to see you guys be recognized because, again, I'll say it again, it's such a small staff. You know, I see Paso Robles as a small state department. You know, DDSD was about 33,000. You look at the Department of Rehab or the Department of Social Services, they're in the thousands. So thank you so much, Chris. I think it's awesome, and each person in this room deserves it.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone online?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. We've held the public hearing, and that's why I'm looking for a motion to receive and file in compliance with AB 2561.
I move we receive and file.
Second. Motion by Gregory, second by Bausch. Discussion? And call for the question then.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Beal?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Public hearing number two, determination of public conveyance of necessity for a type of 21 alcohol beverage control license for a new grocery store located at 2457 Golden Hill Road. Sam, you have that for us?
Yeah, real quick, Mr. Mayor, members of council, just want to introduce Sam Recliffs. He's our new assistant planner. He's been here about 6 months or so. This is one of his first presentations to the council. He's going to be making the next two presentations for you.
Welcome, Sam. Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Council, and thank you for being here tonight. Yes, like Warren said, my name is Sam Recliffs. I'm assistant planner. This is actually my first city council, and so I'm very excited to be here. So tonight we're going to talk about a PCN, a public convenience or necessity, and this will be for, okay, this will be for Trader Joe's at 2457 Golden Hill Road. Appears my time is already up. and so like I said, this address is 2457 Golden Hill Road. This is a major tenant space in the Golden Hills Plaza Shopping Center, currently zoned as a C3 commercial center. And this building shell is currently under construction for the probably worst kept secret in town, the fact that Trader Joe's will be joining us very soon. And so the project request we're looking at is part of Trader Joe's grocery sales is the sale of beer, wine, and distilled spirits. This is something that is incredibly common among Trader Joe's stores throughout California and the United States. This requires a Type 21 license from the California Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control. This is something that is issued to retail stores and allows for the sale of beer, wine, and harder alcohol as well. The ABC has determined that there is what they call an undue concentration of alcohol-related license in the given census tract where the store is going to be located. What that means is basically the ABC compares the number of alcohol-related licenses within the census tract to the population. And so based on the number of people that live in the census tract, they have found that there are what they would call an undue concentration of the number of liquor selling businesses. Based on that, ABC actually tasks the individual cities to make a finding of public convenience or necessity based on requests. And so essentially it would be up to council to decide whether Trader Joe's in this instance would be allowed to sell this alcohol under a license. And so this is the general floor plan of the Trader Joe's store. It's very common if you've ever been within a Trader Joe's. The alcoholic beverage display area would be mainly on the kind of left bottom side there. Those are kind of near the checkout counters. When you're first entering the store, they'll kind of be on the left-hand side there. And so this is the census tract that we're looking at, 102.07. It's mostly kind of the northwest side of our city here. ABC has calculated that the number of reasonable alcohol licenses for the census tract based on its population would be 4. And currently there are 6. 4 type 20s, which are beer and wine sales solely, and then 2 type 21s, which are the beer, wine, along with the distilled spirits. The proposed Trader Joe's usage would add an additional type 21 license. You can see the additional kind of purple dots up in our cluster near Golden Hill and Highway 46. And so this would increase the number of active off-sale licenses in this tract by an additional license. What we found when staff looked into this proposal was the request to sell alcohol by the Trader Joe's folks is consistent with other businesses that are located within this tract. The other two businesses operating under a Type 21 license are also grocery stores that sell alcohol, Food for Less, and the other one. I can't remember. Smart and Final. I knew I'd forget the name. The proposed usage is consistent with municipal code regulations and proposed uses at the Golden Hills Plaza. One of the main tenants that the Golden Hills Plaza was designed for was actually a grocery store outlet usage, which Trader Joe's obviously fulfills. And food and beverage sales are a allowed usage, including grocers, within C3. And then finally, this action is not a project that would be subject to any California Environmental Quality Act guidelines based on just the sale of alcohol. And so these are the options that we bring to council tonight. The first is obviously to take no action. The second would be to approve a resolution determining that public convenience will be served by the issuance of this license, which would essentially allow the sale of beer, wine, and spirits at the Trader Joe's. The third would be to deny the request based on findings that are to be stated within the motion. And then the fourth would be to provide an alternate direction to city staff to go back and reevaluate this proposal. And based on the findings that are presented here tonight, staff would recommend option number 2, which would be approval of that recommendation for Trader Joe's. Thank you for listening. I'll open that up to questions.
Very good. Thank you, Sam. Questions of Councilman Bausch?
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good job.
Thank you.
So of the four that are out there, two are gas station kind of